KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset, starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkin up to Castle Cape, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 9 feet with rain. Tonight, northeast winds 20 knots, seas 8 feet with rain. And Thursday, northeast winds 20 knots, seas 7 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 6 feet with rain. Tonight, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 5 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 15 knots in the morning, becoming variable 10, seas 3 feet. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, northwest winds 40 knots, seas 7 feet with rain. Tonight, northwest winds 30 knots, diminishing to 20 after midnight, seas 6 feet. And Thursday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 4 feet. Port Hedland and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, southwest winds 20 knots, becoming northwest 30 in the afternoon, seas 3 feet, building to 8 in the afternoon with rain. Tonight, northwest winds 30 knots, diminishing to 20 after midnight, seas 9 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 15 knots in the morning, becoming variable 10, seas 5 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, gale warning today. Today, northwest winds 40 knots, seas 12 feet with rain. Tonight, northwest winds 30 knots, diminishing to 20 after midnight, seas 10 feet. And Thursday, west winds 15 knots in the morning, becoming variable 10, seas 6 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, rain likely before 10 a.m., then showers likely mainly between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Cloudy with highs near 44. West winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, scattered showers mainly before 1 a.m. Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy, with lows near 39. Northwest winds 15 to 25 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 30. And Thursday, isolated showers before 7 a.m., then isolated showers after 1 p.m., increasing clouds with highs near 44. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a low tide at 4:03 a.m. at 2 feet 9 inches, a high at 9:23 a.m. at 5 feet 1 inch, a low at 4:01 p.m. at 9 inches, and a high tonight at 10:54 at 6 feet 1 inch. Your sun rose at 6:21 this morning, and your sun will set at 10:56, giving us 16 hours and 35 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News, animals across Alaska are adapting to a warming Arctic in surprising ways. And the Alaska House and Senate adjourned for the year. Stay tuned.
Local programming on KUCB is made possible by the Aleutian Housing Authority, providing affordable housing services in the Aleutian Pribilof Islands region and working hard to create employment, job training opportunities, and promote economic development. More information at ahaak.org.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us. It's Wednesday, May 21st, 2025. Did you know that the unique shape of a common MERS egg prevents it from rolling off ledges? Now you do. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk, with some local news from Unalaska. As the Arctic warms, animals across Alaska are adapting in surprising ways. The Alaska Desk's Theo Greenlee recently visited Izumbik National Wildlife Refuge, where more and more birds are cutting their migrations short and spending their winters.
Out near the tip of the Alaska Peninsula, a wide expanse of tundra, wetlands, and lagoons stretches between the Pacific Ocean and the Bering Sea.
Yeah, well, welcome to Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. We're actually out on the refuge, and we're overlooking Eisenbeck Lagoon.
Maria Fasato manages the refuge. At around 300,000 acres, it's the smallest in the state. And it's the home to hundreds of thousands of birds. Pacific black brant, emperor geese, pintails, eiders, and as you can hear, gulls. This time of year, Eisenbeck is famous as a stopover for migrating birds. A place to rest and refuel as hundreds of species move between the Arctic and southern wintering grounds.
Eisenbeck is critically important during spring and fall migrations. I mean, at times we have virtually the entire population of Pacific black brant staging on Eisenbeck Lagoon.
Lately, though, more and more of those birds are staying for the winter. Allison Williams is a federal wildlife biologist in Eisenbeck. On the bumpy drive out to the lagoon, she says the warmer the climate gets, the more birds spend the winter.
It used to be, you know, in the 80s, it was a couple thousand. And increasingly, more of them have been staying here all winter.
Oh, wow.
50 to 60,000. So the thought is the lagoon is freezing over less, like we're getting less ice, and so the brant can access the eelgrass.
The lagoon is Eisenbeck's crown jewel. It hosts one of the largest eelgrass beds in the world, and that's the engine that keeps the whole refuge alive. As the climate warms, the lagoon isn't freezing over like it used to, opening up more resources for animals like the black brant. So why use all of that energy flying 2,800 miles to winter in Mexico when it's plenty warm right here?
It might freeze up and then melt a couple times during the winter now, which is part of why people think that the brant are staying over more, because they can access that eelgrass all year round.
But Williams says staying has a cost, too. Now, they don't have to fly as far, but wintering here takes more energy than surviving in a warmer place.
It's a game of trade-off.
A March study in the scientific journal Movement Ecology looked at brant geese over a 10-year period. They found it's pretty much a wash. The energy saved on the commute is about the same as the energy spent making it through the colder winters. Beneath the surface of the lagoon, there's a sprawling underwater meadow, the eelgrass beds that fuel the entire ecosystem. So we grabbed a couple kayaks and paddled out to see it for ourselves.
Woohoo!
How far out am I going?
If we go out this way a little bit, we should get some nice thick eelgrass.
The underwater grass beds feed nearly everything here. Tiny snails burrow into it, fish shelter inside it, and birds like the black brant depend on it for energy to migrate or overwinter.
Everything below us is eelgrass. So eelgrass is a really cool plant species. It's a kind of seagrass, and it actually evolved on land and then evolved to go back into the water.
Around the world, eelgrass habitats are shrinking. Worldwide, scientists estimate that about 30% have vanished. They've been hit hard by warming waters, pollution, and invasive species. But here in this remote corner of Alaska, Eisenbeck's eelgrass beds are still thriving. For now. Scientists have started tracking Eisenbeck's eelgrass using satellite imagery.
There was some loss of eelgrass in the central part of the lagoon where we are now, and then a couple areas where we actually gained a little bit. So there's been a little bit of shift, an overall like slight decline in the cover, but not huge.
The decline hasn't been drastic, and Eisenbeck remains one of the largest intact strongholds for this vital habitat. But in a warming world, even the most remote places are changing. With reporting from Cold Bay, I'm Theo Greenley.
Alaska lawmakers have finished this year's business at the state capitol in Juneau. The House and Senate each adjourned for the year shortly after approving the state budget yesterday. Senator Jesse Keel, a Juneau Democrat in the bipartisan majority caucus, says he's proud of the work lawmakers did this year.
When it comes down to it, we balanced the budget. We got the legislative session done on time. And without a whole lot of crazy drama, it's a testament to what I think can be done when people put their party labels at the back and the work at the front.
The State House and Senate passed dozens of bills making large changes and minor tweaks to various aspects of state law, from insurance and rental car taxes to payday loans and financing for fishermen. Falling oil prices left lawmakers facing large deficits. That meant few additions to state spending, some funding cuts, and a skinny budget for new capital projects. It's not to mention the lowest inflation-adjusted permanent fund dividend in state history at just $1,000. There's a lot left on the table for the next regular session slated for next January. The House passed a bill that would reinstate a pension system for state employees, but it did not make it across the finish line in the Senate. And a bill that sought to make a variety of changes to the state's election system faltered in the final days as Republicans objected. Senate Minority Leader Mike Schauer, a Wasilla Republican, says he wishes lawmakers had done more to address a worsening financial outlook and a variety of other issues.
We were certainly hoping to move parts of the fiscal policy plan so that we could start locking some of these things away. I think we're a little disappointed that we didn't really make up much of that.
Lawmakers didn't just finish their session on time. They finished a day and a half early. The state constitution gives lawmakers 121 days to complete their work, and they gaveled out on day 120. Yesterday morning, before adjourning, Alaska state lawmakers overrode Governor Mike Dunleavy's veto of a high-profile education bill. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the bill calls for a more than 10% increase in baseline funding for school districts, but it's still unclear whether districts will get any of the money lawmakers approved.
Increasing the so-called base student allocation was the top priority this year for the bipartisan Democrat-heavy coalitions controlling the House and Senate. Lawmakers have tried three times in the past 2 years to boost basic education funding, and Dunleavy has vetoed each one. The last two times lawmakers tried overriding his vetoes, they fell short. But this time was different.
I think people had the humility to listen to the public who have been crying for additional education funding now for several years.
Senate Majority Leader Kathy Geisel, an Anchorage Republican.
They had the humility to listen today and the courage to do the right thing.
Legislators voted 46-14 to override Dunleavy's veto of House Bill 57. That's six more than the 40 they needed. Every member of the bipartisan Democrat-heavy coalitions voted for it, as did 11 Republicans in the minority. It's the first time lawmakers have overridden a governor's veto since the Palin administration. Senator Lukey Tobin, an Anchorage Democrat, says that's because lawmakers found a compromise that many of them could agree on.
I think the vote that was just put up on the board there showcased that we did great work negotiating good faith with legislators from both bodies and across the aisle.
Lawmakers ultimately settled on a $700 boost to basic per student funding. That's a 10% bump to the so-called base student allocation. The compromise bill also includes a ban on student cell phone use, subject to the decisions of the local school board. There are also some changes to charter school laws aimed at making them easier to start and maintain, a priority for the governor. Lawmakers also included another item from the governor's wish list with a twist. Dunleavy proposed an incentive program for school districts that would offer them $450 for each young student who reads at grade level or demonstrates improvement. But with the state facing a fiscal crunch with oil prices in decline, Minority Republican Senator Rob Yount from Wasilla proposed linking the grants to a tax bill aimed at out-of-state companies. Additional money from the tax proposal would go towards another Dunleavy priority, career and technical education. Yount supported the override.
We all owe it to our voters to keep as much money as possible flowing in our economy compared to Washington, D.C.'s as possible, and that's a simple apportionment issue, and that's what it is. And if that money funds reading grants and career and technical education, then I say that's a huge win.
But Dunleavy vetoed the education bill on Monday, saying its reforms didn't go far enough and that linking the reading grants to the tax proposal was improper. Representative Rebecca Schwanke, a Republican from Taslina, echoed Dunleavy shortly after voting against an override. She says she tried to get more of the governor's priorities into this year's education bills, but without success.
The majority had no interest in moving on any of those policy things that would truly move the needle for our kids. So I stand with the governor. I think that he's on the right track.
School leaders say they're heartened by the vote. Josh Gill is a charter school principal in Bethel.
I think it will dramatically impact being able to plan, get quality educators into our state and being able to plan to have small classroom sizes. All of those things, research shows the longer educators stay in the community, the more beneficial it is for students and student outcomes.
But here's the thing. The fact that lawmakers overcame Dunleavy's veto of the education bill does not mean that schools will automatically get more money next year. The veto override simply changes the funding formula in state law. But the Alaska Constitution gives the governor the power to reduce or eliminate individual line items in the state budget. And Dunleavy said Monday he may veto all or part of the appropriation that would actually fund the education funding increase. We won't know for several weeks whether he actually does it. If he does, that would throw districts into chaos, says Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Superintendent Clayton Holland. He also leads a statewide superintendents association.
A mid-year, you know, a mid-June, end of June decision, you know, could really set our world on fire, and not just here in the Kenai, but across the state.
Lawmakers could seek to override the line item veto, but the threshold is much higher, at three-quarters of the House and Senate. And an override vote, if it's necessary, likely wouldn't happen until next January. With help from Tim Rocky in Anchorage, reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
If you haven't seen it yet, you can head to KUCB.org for a look at your new and improved community calendar. We hope you like the new layout. Let's see what's on the calendar in Unalaska this week. The PCR's annual community cleanup event runs through the end of the month. Get yellow trash bags from any PCR facility, then clean a beach, neighborhood, or roadside for a chance to win prizes. Unalaska's school board will meet for its last scheduled meeting of the school year tonight at 7 o'clock. Board members will discuss district investments as well as staff housing. The public is invited to attend the meeting, which will be held at the high school library. You can also attend virtually. You can find more information, including how to join remotely, at ucsd.net. The Unalaska Interagency Cooperative will meet in the Unalaska Public Library Community Room tomorrow at noon. This meeting is open to the public and should last about an hour. And finally, the Unalaska City School District's Parade of Graduates starts at the elementary school tomorrow evening at 6. It'll end at Safeway. Morning host Ryan Humphrey will provide live parade commentary, so be sure to tune in to KUCB while you watch the parade. For info on everything else happening in town, check out your community calendar at KUCB.org. That's the news from Unalaska. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk. For more local coverage and community events, check out our website at kucb.org. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Do something you love today.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an administrative assistant. The Shipmigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender and a janitor. The Palaf Harbor Tribe is looking for a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is hiring a part-time pull-tab sales assistant. The King Cove Department of Public Safety is looking to hire a certified police officer. Interested applicants can contact the King Cove PD at 907-497-2210. Each is hiring a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They are also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements. Sandpoint, the 6th grade class will be having a plant sale on May 24th from 12 to 3 in the multipurpose room of the school. And to the class of 2025 and Sandpoint's 50th graduating class, celebrate today, dream big tomorrow, and never stop growing. Congratulations, Summer Walls, Landon Deering, Morgan Gunderson, Braden Gatlin, Navai Marcus, Caden Foster, Rowdy Tripp, and Julian Carlson. And today is May 21st, 2025. Happy birthday, Allie Yetchmaneth. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737. Or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
What I am, all the world surrounds me and my feet are on the ground. I'm a very lonely man, doing what I can. All the world astounds me and I think I understand that we're going to keep growing. Wait and see. When all the stars are falling down into the sea and on the ground, and angry voices carry on the wind, a beam of light will fill your head, and you'll remember what's been said by all the good men this world's ever known. Another man is what you'll see, who looks like you and looks like me, and yet somehow he will not feel the same. His life caught up in misery, he doesn't think like you and me, 'cause he can't see what you and I can see.
Together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love is still special, let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone.
kids behind. Come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind. Come along if you care. Come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your mind. Beyond the seas of thought, beyond the realm of what, across the streams of hopes and dreams where things are really not. Come along if you care. Come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your mind. But please realize, you'll probably be surprised. For it's a land unknown to man where fantasy is back. So if you can, please understand, you might not come back.
God, I'd kick it in the head when he was 25. Speed jive, don't wanna stay alive when you're 25. And when the ceiling glows from moths and sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the side from his face, funky little road race. The television man is crazy, same with juvenile delinquent Rex. Oh man, I need TV when I got T-Rex. Oh brother, you get, I'm a dude now.
The young dude.
Hey, dude.
Carry the news.
Where are you?
Do-do-do-do.
Stop, stop.
Carry the news. Oh, the young dude.
I want to hear you.
Carry the news.
I want to see you.
Do-do-do-do.
I want to talk to you.
Carry
all of you.
Now.
He looks sweet because he dresses like a queen, but he can kick like a mule. It's a real mean team, but we can love. Oh, yes, we can love. And my brother's back at home with his Beatles and his Stones. We never got it off on that revolution stuff. What a drag. Too many snacks. Nah, I drunk a lot of wine and I'm feeling fine. Gotta raise some cab to bed. Oh, is that concrete all around? Or is it in my head?
Find us online at www.apradio.org.
Express, that's your day of. We're on the train to Bay.
Beautiful.